Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is an interior paint and primer in one with a tough-lasting formula. It provides great scrub resistance and durability with remarkable hide and a smooth finish. Save big on Dutch Boy's DuraFighter paint at Menards and start your next project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to Chewy Doo Podcast. I wanted to start off first, before we get into the show, on the topics we'll be talking today. They're going to be sensitive topics. Like I mentioned on our Facebook page, some of the opinions that will be tossed out today will be by Chew and myself. These are different opinions. It is what we have the right to feel, what not to feel, how we stand. But anywho, before we jump into that, we want to take the time to respect those who served or passed away during the 9/11 events. They were in our prayers from here on out, and all the tragedies that happened in Utah and in Colorado. So just 5 seconds of silence, please. All right, guys, let's go.
Welcome to the show. We're diving into the world of local talent, artists, wrestlers, and businesses. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Chew and You Podcast.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Chew and You Podcast. I am here today. Fortunately, I am not alone. I have... This man is back, ladies and gentlemen. He is back with us today. It's been nasty weather out there, but we were able to get him out of the hole he lives in and bring him in today, buddy.
The weather outside is so frightful. But it the studio is so delightful, dude. I got air conditioning.
It's not even Christmas yet, dude.
I feel like I'm in the mood for the holidays.
Right. So. But episode 260.
Yeah.
Episode 260 on today's podcast, guys.
Different kind of episode this time.
It's a way different kind of episode. Yeah. This is an episode where we are, like beforehand, we did give a warning in the very beginning. We did send out an actual Facebook announcement and everything what today's topics are going to be. They're going to be a little touchy.
They might be a little bit upsetting for everyone, just like everywhere else in the world. We're just going to give, our thoughts.
Right.
Whether or not they differ from yours, it's not intentional.
Right.
We're just giving our thoughts and, hopefully help people to gain a different perspective without, inciting any kind of violence or anger,
Yeah.
It seems like everyone is just way too willing to jump to extremes nowadays.
Yes, right now, yeah. And before we even get, if you guys already know what we're talking about, we're going to start off first with all due respect with our thoughts and prayers to 9/11, man. One of the infamous days, for me being around itself to witness it, it was crazy. It was crazy. And guys, feel free to answer or speak out yourself in the comments, man. Don't be afraid to put whatever you like on there, what you want to say. So we will try to post it up as best and make sure it's something, nothing too harsh, guys. We do have to follow the bylaws on what Facebook offers and YouTube.
Just keep it civil. Like you're talking, to a family member. Okay,
right,
guys.
Exactly.
Like there's no need to, go in on your personal politics. Just
Just try to keep it at bay, when you have
keep
a chance.
Civil.
When you get a chance to be on the show, you can release all you want.
Sure.
But today, right now in the first half of the podcast, we want to talk about 9/11, guys. And the first question Chew and I were talking about, I'll put it over here so everybody can see this. The first question is, where were you when it all started? I'll let Chew go ahead and answer first, man. Where were you, Chew, when it first started, when you saw all this witnessing fortunately on television, because there was no way we were in the vicinity of New York.
Right.
So, but where were you? What was going on?
Yeah, I remember that day I had woken up late, and my mom was sitting in the living room, you know, being uncharacteristically quiet. And I went into the living room and asked her, how, you know, what she was doing. And all she did was, you know, tell me, look at the TV. And that's when I saw what looked like a building on fire. And I was like, well, what's going on there? And, you know, it took me a minute to fully comprehend, you know, to fully register what was going on and then what was happening. And, you know, have you know, pick up on what the news broadcasters were saying at the time. And, you know, and then not too long afterwards, watching the second building go, you know, be attacked.
Okay.
By the second plane.
Right, right.
And not believing what I was watching. Like, right. How could, how is this possibly real? How is this happening? You know?
Right, right.
I remember that there was a lot of confusion still going on because nobody really knew what was happening. Like, was it, I think everyone was still, like, working under the assumption that it was some kind of accident.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until, like, you know, a little bit after the second tower was hit.
Right.
That everyone started to realize, oh, my gosh.
This is happening.
The country's under attack.
Right, right.
And once those words were uttered by someone, I mean, the tone of everything just changed.
Right.
Like, it was palpable, like, everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Now, we have our first comment here from David Garcia. What's up, Dave? Saying fifth grade class teacher walked in and whispered something to our teacher, walked home and saw it on TV, playing it over and over again. Yeah, that was, unfortunately for myself, I was actually working in the school at the time, and I had just dropped off my student off to his classroom. And then at that moment, I said, I'm going to go get some coffee, you know, and go back to where I have to go. So I head over to the break room, and I'm getting my coffee, and I'm see people sitting down watching the television. I'm all like, what's going on here? And I'm looking at the television, and I see exactly the same thing, the one of the buildings on, you know, smoking up. Like, yep. I didn't know what was going on. So I'm in disbelief. I'm looking at it like, man, the first thing that crossed my mind, what movie is this?
Right.
This is a movie? Are y'all watching a movie in here? What's going on? And the more and more I look at it, I see what time it is, the date, the month. Then it says New York, Twin Towers. I froze. Mm-hmm. And the same thing you said, man. Holy crap, we're under attack.
Yeah.
And I can't compare what I felt to what the people in New York felt, but the tragedy that was happening on TV, watching it on TV, knowing that it was happening, kind of scared the living hell out of me. Because, I mean, if it happened there, it's going to start happening everywhere. Are we being invaded? Are we getting attacked? What's going on? Why isn't anybody talking?
That's what, you know, led what I mean? up to the scare, because, like, the next day, over here on South Padre Island, a barge crashed into the causeway.
Yes.
And so that just sent everyone like reeling, like, okay, they're here.
The collapse.
And,
collapse. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they're here in the valley. You know, we're under attack too. You know, what do we do? You know, people literally started. It was just a terrible, you know, coincidence at the time, but we didn't know that.
Right.
Because, like, you know, it just so happened, like, oh, like this on a causeway, you know, right. this has never happened before. And the timing of it was just terrible.
And you're talking like that, I guess, great minds think alike. Jacinto just put in that we shall never forget the lost lives of 9/11. But I remind you, days after that, we had a tragedy on the Rio Grande Valley as well. The barge hit the bridge, and all that. SPI, where loves were lost, and in September of that year. Yes, it's true, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And then I have another one out here by True King, says, I remember I was at a BCT class, a BCIS class, second period, junior year. They put us on the they put it on the TV, and we were watching it. And, you know, and to see that happening live, it was lost for words.
Yeah,
I could not even begin to piece things together on why, what's going on, what happened, what first thing I that comes to my mind, what did we do, you know, to have this happen to us? That's, you know, that's the first thing that crosses my mind. What did we do for this to happen in our homeland, in our country? What is it?
Right.
You know, and it, a lot of that runs through your mind, dude. I mean, and you start thinking about your family. I got to get home. I got to check if my wife's okay. I got to check if my parents are okay.
Absolutely.
I got to check if my wife's parents are okay. Everybody, all my loved ones are okay. I got to make sure everybody's fine. But to see that was just unimaginable, dude. It was crazy. So you're watching this with your mom on TV, and what's the discussion had between you and your mom?
Honestly, it was just really just a bunch of stunned silence, because she didn't really know what to say or what to think either. She had never experienced anything like this either. So, you know, it was just stunned silence between the two of us. Mm-hmm. And just we just couldn't take our eyes off of the news.
Right.
And, you know, it was like that for the next 6 weeks.
Yes.
Next 6 weeks, it was just like, go to bed listening to the news, wake up listening to the news, you know, spend the day, you know, close to the TV, seeing what, you know, new news was coming. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was just that, like that nonstop, six weeks.
It was.
I mean, this just like, this was the only thing happening in the world.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and so much so that even other countries, you know, got into, you know, paying homage to the country by, you know, playing the national anthem. You know, I remember Great Britain did that, you know, they played the national anthem and, you know, just in solidarity for us. And, and you know, more to off the point which that you made, like you went home and, you know, had to check on your family, make sure everything was all right. You know, I give it to all the Americans who had the kind of like a different reaction where they're like, I need to do something.
Right.
I need to act to protect our country. We're under attack. Right. I need to do something.
Right.
And enlistment in the Army and the armed services really just shot through the roof.
And I got Baby D. Big shout out to Baby D, man. He was here on the podcast last week with Grupo Medovaya. He's saying, I can still get the image of the man jumping out of the window from the 80th floor or something like that. Because I can't even jump off my damn table. And I go, dude, that was, I still remember that image. That image was crazy, dude. It was nuts to see that.
And that guy would have rather, you know, risked jumping
instead of being burned
than being burned
to that to a crisp by that jet fuel, man. You know, and then stuff like that, man. I think about that every day, you know, to live, because, you know, our grandparents or our great grandparents have seen stuff like they've seen war. You know, our soldiers going to war and what they went through. I mean, you know, grandparents that have probably been to World War II. You know, they're around that time when all that happened at the time. So to see that, to be in the moment when it's happening with Vietnam, the Korean War, all that stuff that was off of our soil, and then for this to happen.
Right.
Close to home is just unimaginable, bro. Unimaginable,
especially in some place like New York City, where
You know, you think of New York City, you think, oh man, all the people, all the, you know.
Up until then, it was you know, just pretty much like the unofficial capital of the United States. You know, You know, everybody wanted to go to New York, you know, for whatever reason.
Yeah, I hear you, man. I hear you.
And to see it under attack, and, you know, people dying.
Mm-hmm.
On the news, like that had never been shown before. Well, not for a good long time.
Right.
People didn't remember, you know, the 60s and 70s.
Right.
So to see, you know, something like that man jumping, really just, you know, stuck with everybody who saw it.
It was something that was imprinted in our minds for the rest of our lives to see that, man. Which leads to the next question. On here on the I got another comment here. Hold on, give me 1 second. The wife is watching. It wasn't just New York, but also the Pentagon. Yes, that's true.
Yeah,
the Pentagon, the passengers in Chargeville, Pennsylvania. Also, yeah, they lost their lives.
Yep.
May they rest in peace. Thoughts and prayers to the family. Yes. Yeah,
the heroes on the Pennsylvania flight.
Yeah. I mean, when I read that, when I heard about that,
yeah,
bro, it kind of it, like what you said, joining the armed forces and doing that, you know, you know, what they did to stop that plane to hurt any more other people. They went down not only as casualties, but as heroes.
Absolutely.
To save maybe thousands of more lives that was going to happen, you know.
Absolutely.
It kind of juggles the back of my throat right now, trying to swallow a frog right now, dude, because it really
makes you...
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Wonder what happened to that, because those Americans, they got together, maybe not intending to, you know, die that day,
right?
But they decided, like, we're gonna stop these guys,
right?
It's a very heroic act.
And then the loved ones calling home and saying their goodbyes to their family, bro.
Yes,
that's, oh my god, that must be the most hardest phone call to make, you know. To have that be put in that situation, it's horrible.
It's
horrible.
I don't say this lightly, but it's one of the things that, you know, I'm sure a lot of people wish we could go back and undo.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
For, you know, all the whatever good or whatever we might have learned from what happened, you know, I'm pretty sure everyone would rather it never have happened.
Exactly. Which comes to the next question, is how did 9/11 affect our lives now? I mean, for me and my point, how did it affect me is like, oh, shoot, you got to have eyes all around. You got to have you got to watch your six. You got to watch your side. You got to watch everything that's coming at you. You keep your head in the news constantly. Because honestly, to be the honest fact, and this is the honest truth, guys. Growing up, you know, as kids, we never saw this. Our parents kind of like shield us away from these things that were happening in the world. You know, they want us to have the innocent life, the childhood life, to go off, do your thing, get in trouble over here, do whatever, get into a little mealy little fist fight outside with your friends. You know, it was that. But we never saw that there was bigger fish to fry, that were frying out there that we never saw. I'm not sure that makes sense.
We didn't learn that until we got older.
Exactly.
You know, our parents definitely wanted us to be, you know, as innocent as possible for as long as possible.
Right, exactly.
You know, God bless them for that. And, you know, because they were right.
Yeah.
Because stuff like that happens, and you realize that you are not prepared for anything.
Exactly.
You know, this wasn't like a storm that, you know, you got advanced warning of that was coming and you could prepare. Like, this was out of the blue. No one was expecting it.
Nope.
Even the government officials who, you know, the reports later came out.
Right.
They had heard chatter of it, but they were just like, no, that can never happen.
Right. It's not going to happen here.
It'll never happen here. Yeah. You know, we're the United States. That just doesn't happen here. And, but there it was. It happened.
Yep.
Unfortunately, that's a lesson that they had to learn at the cost of a lot of lives. You know, unfortunately, that's what happens sometimes.
How did it affect your life now, knowing, well, being, not actually being there, but seeing it, and that in particular being in history books now, where these young kids read about it, you know, that's in their textbooks or in the papers or social media, how it's always a remembrance of September 11th now. From that day here on out, I mean, how has it changed you?
Yeah, it makes you cynical. It makes you cynical because, especially, you know, to hear, well, for me, to hear that, you know, there was talk, there was chatter that people had heard of,
right?
That with some mild investigation, they would have found that, you know, there were agents here in the United States. There were people who were actively working against the American people to kill American people.
Right.
That our defenses are not as impenetrable as everyone was patting themselves on the back that they were.
Right. Yeah, I hear you exactly.
You know, the people who were responsible for our security messed up, and all they could do was give us, "We're sorry, and we'll do better."
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Don't tell me that. Tell that to the family.
That's a mulligan, guys. Sorry, we're getting a mulligan for this. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Wah, wah.
Yeah, basically that's what it felt like.
Yeah.
You know, did we feel safe after that? We're at our age, we started watching the news more, the media itself. We started watching it more, what's going on in our backyard, what's going on across seas.
The landscape of everything that we did before changed.
Exactly.
I mean, do you remember, like, before this, the TV channels would end their broadcast day at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Exactly.
But when this happened, mm-hmm. and they went to a 24-hour news cycle,
yep,
that stopped.
Yep, yep.
That ended. You know, people started investing in guns more. They became, you know, they start the, that's when the whole prepping,
right,
field started up too. You know, right, are you ready for war when it comes?
Right, exactly.
You know, and we were a very innocent country. We were a very stupid country before. We mm-hmm. never, it's like I said, we never ever for a second believed something like that could happen. That happens over there.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that happens over there with the, you know, those people over there. It'll never happen here.
Yeah. And I was just putting on there on the question about the government itself is they didn't mess up. They just didn't give an F.
Yeah.
You're right. I mean, like I said, that's your opinion, man, and you stay true to that opinion, and it's understandable. I understand what you're trying to say. But it affected a lot of lives, man. I know a lot of people, it was hard for them to go. You had some people that couldn't even go outside itself. Yeah. Not only in New York, but all around the country. It was hard for them to step out of their safe zone. Yeah. And it's weird that I don't mean to bring this up, but it was kind of the same situation with COVID. When COVID hit, they were still, and we finally got more or less cleared of it, where it's more or less controlled, there were still people who were afraid to go out.
Yeah.
They were still scared that something might happen.
There are some people who are still afraid to go out without a mask.
Exactly. So. And you know, and I mean, and there's, I'm not going to say it's wrong. It's just, it's mental health that they need to do it.
Yeah.
You know, you can't dismiss that. What I'm saying is that you can't attack them on that. Well, why are you still wearing a mask? Take it off. COVID's over. No. That's their safety net. That's how they feel safe.
Yeah.
You know, as simple as that. So you shouldn't attack that. But
no, I mean, honestly, I see people still wearing the mask today. And, like, that's fine for them. If that's what makes you feel comfortable interacting, you know, in public.
Right.
Do it. It doesn't bother me at all. Mm-hmm. If you are triggered by that, well, that seems more like a you problem, a you issue.
Right, exactly.
You know, whether or not you believe COVID happened or not, or, you know, whatever your beliefs are about what happened during COVID, honestly, it was the best reaction that could have been, that could have happened with the information that we had.
Right. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, like, the fact that some people are still nervous about it. Well, you know, that may be something that, you know, maybe they need help with to understand better, or, you know, maybe that's just something that they prefer to handle on their own. Whatever the reasons are, you know, people are getting very upset about what other people are doing for not very good reasons.
Right.
And maybe, you know, it's time for people to just look inward on some of those things.
Exactly. And as he was saying, unfortunately, we have many more people afraid to go out right now. And yeah, it's true. It's true. But that goes on to the third question for this in particular segment. This is what important lesson did we learn from 9/11 about the community?
How important community is during emergencies, in my opinion. Like I said, with the we thought was the causeway attack, which just happened, it was just the causeway accident.
Right.
People like immediately like started, you know, checking on each other's families, you know, making sure everyone was okay, making sure, you know, that, you know, oh my gosh, was your family.
Yeah.
What, did you have a family member on the causeway? Did you have someone in New York?
Right.
We started checking on people.
Yeah.
You know, whether or not we should have before that, you know, you can debate that all you want, but during that time, it was definitely like, are you okay? Like, what can we do to help each other?
It was more of a unity between communities now. They were making sure everybody was okay.
Yes.
That was the first time I had noticed a lot of cities, communities, states in the U.S. really coming, healing each other. That's what I want to say. They're helping each other heal in that important situation that happened.
Absolutely.
You know, it was...
The country rallied around one another.
Yes.
And it's
sad. And to switch gears here, it's kind of sad for something like that to happen. You know? It took that to bring unity within a country.
Yeah.
You know, how far apart were we? Were we separate already that we just didn't realize? Or were we just didn't care about our fellow neighbor anymore? We didn't care what was going on. What was more important was this is what we have here at home is what's more important. We can care less what's going on in the world.
And well, that was just the general apathy of the times, you know, the
mentality.
90s were definitely like, well, all the stuff that's happening that's bad is happening over there, you know, with other people.
Right.
Until it affects us directly, you know, we're not going to really care about it. And then it happened to us directly. And then, you know, it's like, oh, my gosh, you know, it's like I said, we all rallied around one another, which, you know, it's unfortunate that it did take that for it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But it did happen. It is possible for us to do that, to rally around each other, to support one another.
Right.
And it just makes the, you know, the climate of today all the more sad to think about, you know, what is possible. And, you know, it's just not happening.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like I said, for tragedy having to bring a country closer together is kind of messed up. You know,
it's
really messed up in a case of something bad has happened for something good to happen.
Yeah.
You know, the yin and yang, if I'm boldly able to say, I'll never understand that. I can't. It doesn't sink in.
You can't ascribe, you know, any kind of sense to human nature, dude. I mean, it's just. How can, you know, people be espousing, you know, how can the most violent creature on the face of the planet, you know, constantly be espousing peace when, you know, we're so violent to one another?
Right, exactly. And, you know, that's something that, I mean, in all thoughts for all the victims of 9/11, all the people that went in, the people that were running out and the others that were running in to go help, I mean... They'll never be forgotten. This day of September 11th will be in our minds to the end of time. I mean, the last time we had something horrible like that was, I believe, Civil War. It was brother versus brother, where they were killing each other left and right, and the most horrific thing ever done on American soil.
Yeah.
And then now this itself, I mean, not to go too far back, we did have Pearl Harbor now.
Right.
They came and they bombed the living heck out of us, and that's when the general said, "You woke a sleepy giant," and we just went back and did our thing, which I would bring up in another podcast. There was this anime that my wife and I sat down and watched through. Bro, it's maybe the next time you and I have a sit-down powwow, we'll go into that. We'll go into that, and
sure.
it's a It's I'll even get you the name of the anime so you can check it out yourself and tell me what you think. And it gives you a whole different aspect on that in particular war.
You better tell me quick, dude, because anime's going
out. I know, dude. I don't even want to go on that. We'll talk about that next time we do a powwow.
I need to get it quick.
Yeah. But anyways, guys. But before we go into the to our sponsors here, we want to say from Chewy New Podcast to all the families that were affected in New York, if you are watching or listening, our heart goes out to you until the end of time. To be part of something like that, it's horrible. I mean, there's among other things that we'll be talking about next that are even horrible too. No, but we'll talk into the second half of this podcast. But our hearts do go out to all the families in New York City that were affected by this event in September 11th. I mean, all we can do is just move forward and heal.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpoints. TC.
That's really all I have to say. Anything? Any last words for you?
Well, just continue to all the families, to everyone that's been affected by you. Are not alone. If you need help, call a friend. Call a family member. There are phone lines that you can call. For help, because it may have been 24 years ago, but I know for a lot of people, it still feels like yesterday.
Yeah.
And, to all the families of the people that passed away, are much continued love to you. And,
right.
All I can tell you is, just live one day at a time.
Yeah,
that's true. For your family member that's not there.
Exactly.
That's all you can do.
That's exactly right. Guys, we're switching gears here now to thank all our sponsors here. First on bat, let me get my notes here. Hold on, let me pop this bad boy on. First on deck right now is Anola's Construction, guys. Guys, if you're looking to get a home built by these guys, they are visionaries, man. They work on residential and business. They do projects that are stunning remodels and rebuilds to the test of time, guys. These are awesome. Why choose them? They take pride in their craftsmanship and attention. They pay more attention to detail, ensuring every project is a masterpiece tailored to your needs. Plus, on top of that, they know the importance of working within your budget without compromising quality. Don't settle for less, guys. Give them a call. Contact them today. Create something extraordinary together, man. Anola's Construction, building dreams one brick at a time. Big shout out to those guys. Also, another great sponsor to the podcast is Pandora's Box Tattoo Parlor with Freddie Honda. Guys, if you're looking for a good tattoo, give this guy a call, man. My wife made this masterpiece for me and I ended up going getting it done by Freddie. Great guy, man. Reach out to him. Give him a call. Click on that QR code. Get all information and set up an appointment, man. He's a real cool guy. Very talented. Big shout out to him and his wife. I know right now at the moment they are going. I call her Mrs. Honda. Mrs. Honda is going through something. Going through something right now, and I hope she gets cleared out by it soon. Our prayers and thoughts go to you. Another big shout out to Valley Trophies LLC, guys. We need much more than a trophy shop. They're much more than a trophy. They are think custom, think Valley Trophies. They do everything from somebody asked for a Stanley Cup. I don't know who that was on the comments, but and you can see
sounds like a really cool person.
They do great trophies, plaques, fantasy football, guys. You're looking to make yourself a trophy for the guys and everything for the season. These are the guys you want in your corner. Kick on that QR code. Big shout out to them for promoting our promotional poster. Also, another big shout out to Extreme Nutrition LLC. seed juices, protein shakes, Froyo's smoothie bowls, and supplements. If you're really serious about getting your health, getting back to your health, being a health nut, these are the guys you want to go with. Their protein shakes are great. Their juices are great. Baby steps. I know when I started going with them just for a while, I go at least once or twice a month to get a shake or a weight loss burner. It helps, man. It helps. Makes you feel good for the rest of the day. And the toilet won't like you, but paying a visit. But, hey, it's good for your all your needs down here, man, and keep you nice and clean.
I'll just do what I do. Hate it back.
Hate it back.
Yeah.
Damn you, toilet.
I'll tear if you, toilet.
Oh, guys, big shout out to those guys for putting up our promotional poster. Click on that QR code, and they will gladly help you out. Let them know Chewing You sent you. Also, big shout out to Texas Toke Smoke Shop, the one-stop shop for vape, CBD, and smoking essentials. I know Texas had passed a law just recently about these shops.
The law.
Yeah. The law. That's the correct the law.
Yeah, the law.
But as far as I know, this shop is still open. They still got the necessities to have in there. I really don't know what. If somebody can send me that law to our podcast, so next time we promote these guys on our podcast, we know exactly what to say as far as like purchasing and all that good stuff. Give them a call, head out there, click on QR code, let them know Chewing You sent you. Great guys. And last but not least, our old stomping ground Chew.
Yeah.
The Gallery Cactus.
Gallery. Yeah,
Gallery Cactus. I always say Gallery Cactus because yes, that's the name of it, but you keep calling it Cactus Gallery.
That's right, because that's what makes sense.
But a big shout out to them where they have crafts, memorabilia, and vintage, guys. They got a great shop. They got great people in there selling great stuff, man. They have live shows on Friday nights and Saturday nights. Head out there, man. Go have some fun. You know, live the city nightlife out there with them. Enjoy that. And they have a coffee shop back there, if I'm not mistaken. I think they serve coffee now out there. Not only that, if you go through the back doors, it takes you straight to the eatery. So enjoy that scene back there and have some good old time back there also.
I've never been invited to these events. I have no idea.
You have. It's just I never took you. So, but
oh, we're going to talk about this.
Click on that QR code, take you straight to the their Facebook, Instagram page, so you can get more information on when, where, and what's going on in their neck of woods. A big shout out to all our sponsors, man. I appreciate you guys giving us the time of day to let us do. There it is. Thank you. There's the applause. I wonder where our audience was.
Where the hell have you guys been?
Where have you been for the last 97 episodes? Big shout out to those guys, man. Thank you so much for promoting our promotional poster. And last but not least, guys, we do have this little bad boy. We do have still have caps on sale for $14. You have a chance. Hit us up on that QR code. You're from out of state, out of town, or in the valley. Just let me know. Hit me up on the messenger, and we can work something out where I can meet you somewhere and give you your purchase cap. And man, that's it for us right there.
Someplace public. not no hotel rendezvous kind of bullshit. No,
Chew will go to those.
I will, but I won't enjoy myself.
He'll go to those, man. He goes, I'm here. Why are you wearing a birthday suit? Hey, I deliver my merch different.
Are we doing this or not?
Jesus. But anyways, guys, going back to this episode, the next on the agenda, guys, this wasn't really talked too much about in the news, because there was other circumstances happening in Utah at the moment. But I want to go through this first. This was happening in Colorado. This is the next question here, Audrey. I'm not sure if anybody even heard about this or it was announced, but it was on the news just for a little bit. What about the Colorado attack in the school? I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, man. I really don't know what happened. I don't know the inside. I'm not sure if you got any info on that, or you read up on that.
Apparently there was yet another school shooting. Jesus. in a school in Colorado. Mm-hmm. A student, of course, mm-hmm, went to school and with a revolver began attacking other students.
Jesus.
Two of the students were injured. Mm-hmm. They are still in the hospital. The suspect apparently after firing on the students, mm-hmm. Turned the weapon on himself and died.
Oh wow!
From his wounds,
self-inflicted wounds.
Yeah.
Wow.
And at last report, apparently the two students are still in the hospital in critical condition.
The ones that were shot.
Yeah, the two.
Okay, the two were shot. Okay. Yeah. I got you.
Yeah. As whenever these events happen at school, there was a lot of panic. There was a lot of running around of the students. You know,
right.
Trying to get to safety. So there were minor injuries. You know, cuts and bruises and things.
Right. But, right.
Luckily, there were no other gunshot victims.
Right.
The police arrived within 2 minutes of it beginning, mm-hmm. and sealed off the campus. And I think that's why they were able to confront the shooter so quickly.
Right.
And that's when he turned the weapon on himself. The sheriff stated on the last report that I saw that, mm-hmm. the investigation was still very preliminary, and they didn't know why the suspect did what he did. What was the reason? What was the reason for the attack?
Right.
The saddest thing he said was that he wasn't even sure if the shooter was old enough to drive. So.
Oh wow! You see, it's something that the media did not bring up into the issue.
I mean, unfortunately, it got overshadowed pretty quickly by another event that happened. The same week.
Yeah,
recently.
I have Jacinto saying, I believe it was 3 students that were injured. That's what Jacinto was saying.
The third student that was injured wasn't shot. Was injured getting away from the shooting scene.
Oh, okay.
Apparently he jumped a fence. Trying to get away, mm-hmm. running to another elementary school.
Holy shit!
He'll live.
How can I put it? I want to put dead air out there for you, but let me ask you a quick question. Mm-hmm. Are you a person who's for guns? It's simple question.
Yes.
Okay. I am in the same boat with you. I am for guns. I am.
Yes.
I am. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason why I say I am is first of all, for hunting purposes.
Yes.
Go out, kill food, bring it home, eat it. It's a guns are put away. Now, I see a lot of people living in Texas, being from Texas, state of Texas, where you have the right to carry and conceal.
To open carry.
Open carry. I don't get it. I don't get it why you would have to carry. I don't get it why you have to go to these sports gun shows and buy these high artillery guns. When are you going to go out and kill a bison? I'm just giving a random animal here. A bison with a freaking A5.
I agree with that sentiment. I am for guns, for responsible people, for responsible home protection, self-protection.
That's the next step I was going to tell you.
That is what I believe, feel guns are for. Responsible home protection.
Exactly.
People that use them to go hunting for food, for survival, just for recreation.
Right.
Fine,
right,
too.
Right.
Those people are some of the most responsible people I've ever seen.
Right.
Because they understand the power of a weapon.
Exactly.
Now, to your statement of why someone would want to buy
a high caliber
military grade weaponry.
I don't get it.
I can only, in my personal opinion, say that it is only because to stroke some part of your ego or scratch some itch.
Thank you.
That you are, some paramilitary hero.
Right. Which you probably weren't even in the damn military to carry.
You were never in the military. Exactly. You were never going to be in the military.
Right.
You have no. You're not going to be the savior who saves the country. You're not. You know.
I can understand.
You're not Rambo. You're not John Wick. Exactly. You never will be.
Exactly.
You know now. You know if it's just you know some kind of power that you know power kink that you know you need to scratch. Do it responsibly. I mean that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I am all for you if you can handle this responsibly,
right?
In a responsible manner, go for it.
Right,
go for it.
Right.
If you just want to, you know, oh well, I'm a badass. Well, you know,
right.
Fuck you.
Right, exactly. I hear you.
You do not deserve that right. In my opinion.
Yeah, I hear you. And for me, I mean, I can be truthful about it. I mean, this is how I feel about it. And like I say, my opinion, as far as like we're talking about here,
I think that that's how a lot of people feel.
Yes. I don't see myself if I go out and get a gun. Which, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I don't own one. I don't own one. I don't think I need one. I don't need one. I don't hunt. I don't need home protection or anything like that. I mean, I have what I have to protect my family at home, you know, what's needed.
Your wife has lethal killing skills.
Oh, she's lethal, man. Yeah. She's well, lethal.
Oh, I... Oh. Yes,
you're... You don't mess with Mama Bear.
No, no, you don't.
You don't mess with Mrs. Iwako.
No.
But there you go. That is my lethal weapon. Mm-hmm. No, but in all seriousness, I don't... Like I said, I don't own a weapon or anything like a gun. Itself, I don't see the necessity for it. But now with times that are coming around and things that are happening in our country, it kind of pushes the non-gun owners to go that direction now.
Well, let me put it to you, dude. Let me put it to you. You've seen how the Valley has changed.
Yes.
Since you were a kid.
Yes.
You know, would you say it is as safe as it was when you were a kid? No, of course not.
It isn't.
How many people who are listening to our podcast can say that something has happened in your neighborhood, you call the police, they show up and they're like, well, you know, just give you the old shrug and like, well, you're still alive, you know, yeah. Where are your cuts? Where are your bullet wounds? You know, where's the dead body? You know, there isn't. Well, you know, I'm leaving.
Right.
So, you know, with that sentiment in mind, it's hard not to go that route.
Right.
To say like, well, if I'm on my own and my neighbor has, you know, an AK-47, well, I'm going to get an AK-48. Right. Or an AK-100, you know, or whatever, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, how can you not? Because it just feels less. When you feel less safe, and you don't know what to do, you're more likely to go to that extreme.
Right. And I got Jacinto saying responsibly? Go outside during the freaking New Year's in Wesco behind Northwest Gate where the Dollar General is, and it sounds like damn war zone.
Kids well, can't Jacinto, enjoy. Yeah, let's just call those people irresponsible people.
No shit, man. No shit.
Okay, I'm not saying that those people are the responsible people. I was referring to.
Right.
All right. Those are definitely the people who should not have
exactly.
a gun. But
exactly.
But because, you know, Second Amendment and this and that, well, right. you know, they have a gun. And,
yeah.
You know, for whatever the reason is that they have a weapon.
Right.
You know, to me, in my personal opinion, maybe they don't deserve to have that weapon. Right. You know, that's what I'm saying.
I made the choice early my freshman year, going to school, about not owning a gun, knowing the fact at the time in the early 90s, we had the drive-by shootings, you know,
drive-by shootings were so common.
The gun-related stuff and all that stuff. It was not saying it's not huge now. It still is. But it was always there, but we started seeing it more in our neighborhoods.
It was being romanticized for some damn reason.
Right, exactly.
It was in music. It was in music videos. It was on TV shows.
Right.
You know.
Thank you, MTV.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
No, but my decision to not buy a gun or to be associated with a gun at that time was really point blank, because right to the point, because I lost a friend in school who brought a revolver to school and showed it off with hollow point bullets.
Oh my God.
And he was showing it off. He was spinning the revolver, and I guess he thought he had taken everything out of the chamber, and when he spun it, it locked, and he put it under his chin, and he was like showing off, and it's a hair trigger, boom, straight to the bottom of the neck, out to the back of his skull. May he rest in peace. I'm not even going to mention his name, but hearing that happening in my school itself, which never happened before. There was rumors, oh man, they're gonna come soon.
Yeah.
Never happened though.
Yeah.
But to be in that situation, to hear that only two rooms away from where I was in class,
right.
There was a lockdown. Ambulance came in, tried to save him. They couldn't save him. There was no way, he was gone. For him to bring that to school was just nuts.
For those of you in the audience who don't know, like, if it happens here in the Valley, it is an event.
Yeah,
it is an event. Because Valley, I don't want to sound like I'm making fun of anything, but the Valley is where, you know, events come to die sometimes. You know, just nothing happens here,
right,
for so long.
Yeah,
and then you know when something like this does happen, it is an event. Mm-hmm. That just rocks a lot of people's worlds.
It does, which goes into the next question: why didn't the media acknowledge what happened out in Colorado? And we know the answer to that. We're gonna jump straight into that in a couple of minutes. Right now, we'll be going straight to the next subject. But it's these school shootings. And, you know, I talk to Ro, Beefy Boy Ro, a lot in the mornings. We talk about stuff like this. It's becoming, and it's sad to say, and if you guys are watching and you agree or disagree with me, it's starting to be part of the norm now of these shootings. Yeah. It's like there's nothing being done.
No.
We had a poor visual of a police department, and I'm going to bring this up, Uvalde.
Exactly.
These were men that had bulletproof vests. Their job is to serve and protect, and yet didn't fall through for these kids.
Absolutely not.
And that pissed the hell out of me. You had some of these were on their phones.
That pissed me off too. I don't even have kids, but to see that.
Mm-hmm.
If I hear a kid is in trouble, you know, me, I don't even have kids, I'm going in there.
Right.
I'm going in there. I don't care if I get shot, you know, I get shot, but I'm going to try.
Right, exactly.
I'm going to try to save a kid.
Especially if you're covered, you have a vest.
You are highly trained. You have a weapon.
You have an artillery weapon, just like what this kid has.
Yes, there are more of you.
Now, I don't know where there was attention that, well, if we charge, he might shoot more.
He's already shooting them.
Kids.
They're already dying.
You need to go in there and stop it.
Yes.
And it just boggles my mind that to see that. All this happens.
Oh, we didn't have someone in, you know, to sign the paperwork. Fuck you.
Yeah, exactly. I don't understand it. It doesn't. These are stuff that the web says. Why didn't the media, talk about what happened there in Colorado? You know, there's so much now that a lot of schools like to cover up stuff. Say, well, we can't talk about this. You know, we got to make sure that the families that have their kids here need to know that they're safe. You know, we can't discuss what happened here. The media can only do so much, because everybody's a reporter now. You have a phone. You're a reporter. You know, you're videotaping everything that's going on in your neck of the woods now.
More to the point, school officials aren't concerned about the children.
Yeah. I get what you're saying.
Their response was more like a politician. Well, you know, we need to, you know, we're worried about the big picture.
Yeah.
That's a politician's response, what they said, you know, that the parents need to know that children are safe. No, they're not.
Yeah.
This proves it.
Yeah.
You know?
I hear you.
There was an excellent police response. Thankfully, a lot of more people didn't get killed.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously something is going on in the school where this child felt neglected and ignored enough to that he needed to take a weapon and, you know, unleash his fury on other people like so many other times before.
Right.
More going to the point of what you said, you were talking to with Beefy Boy Rowe, it's become so common that it's more like you hear in the news about a road rage incident.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things that just has to happen for some reason.
Exactly. Exactly.
Which is, you know, it's just the saddest thing.
Yep.
Once you realize, you know, that that's where it has gone to. Because no one is willing to say, like, well, maybe, you know, we need to address something in ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that can't be, because, you know, that would mean that the system is flawed and we're not willing to respond.
Yeah.
We're not really willing to acknowledge that.
Yep, that's true. And then I got Hasiz was saying the government doesn't give a F. I guess that's why they want us. They want to make sure that kids don't take their phones to school now, because they can record everything.
Yeah, that's another thing. That's, you know, kids recording everything. That's a separate thing, because, you know, you have incidents with teachers and things like that.
Right, right.
That's a separate.
I know where you're going with that. Yeah, I totally understand that.
Yeah.
But that's when we go into the final questions here, and these are the ones that are going to be really touchy ones, guys. Yesterday at 12 p.m., I believe it was Central Time here, or 12 p.m. over in the in the West Coast.
Well, let's just say it was Central Time here.
Yeah, so 12 o'clock here, Central Time.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to mention his name. I don't want to be held accountable for that or anything like that, the stuff that we're going to say. So we're just going to use Chuck. If you know what I'm talking about, you know who I'm talking about. That's basically
Chuck K.
Chuck K. Yeah, Chuck K. We'll call him Chuck K. He was in an event in the University of Utah. This event that was going on, that was just starting out.
Yes.
This is the first one that he was going to do in Utah. Mind you, the whitest state in the United States.
Indeed.
You know, goes out there.
We love white people, by the way. that racist tirade by ooh aside.
Yeah.
We love us our whiteies.
Shut up, dude.
We love you.
Oh, my God.
You're the best.
I'm trying to get serious here. Led to the event to where Chuck K was shot.
Yes.
During the event. What event led to Chuck being shot? Now, I know I have read reports where I know for a fact that the university I believe it was a list or some signatures to keep this guy out of the university. They didn't want him there. Turned it in. The university didn't give a shit. Said, we're bringing him. Why? Bringing students, bringing money. That was my point to it, what I saw. He starts talking. Talking about they're going to be there for a couple of hours. The new tour that he's doing. And the first question that's tossed out to him.
He had already been there for
how long?
Maybe about half an hour.
Okay, half an hour. Right.
And someone approached the microphone, which is part of the part of what he does there. You know, he has a microphone where people can approach and ask him questions. You know, loaded questions about politics and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And That's what happened. Someone approached the microphone and asked him a question about gun violence.
Right, right. And I got the missus here, says, I don't think whether you're for or against, I believe there should be more policy laws to reduce gun deaths. Yeah. You're right.
Absolutely.
You're right.
Absolutely.
You're right. So
do something.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, being that talking about that question being asked, he answers the question the first time, puts the mic down.
He begins answering answering the question.
Right.
And halfway through, he is shot.
Shot. Something. Then I don't want to compare it to that, but the tragedy itself takes me back. I wasn't around when it happened, but video of JFK kind of getting
it gives the same vibe because it's a political.
Yes, it gives it a political view of it.
Yeah.
When I saw the video, bro.
Yeah.
When I saw this video, because it was flashed everywhere from TikTok to Instagram to Facebook.
Yeah.
It was X, especially X.
Some disgusting people were posting it on their timeline, yes, as you know, and celebrating it.
Exactly, and it for me when I saw it, I was like, "Wow."
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's podcast is a very hardcore in views. A lot of people disagree with. There are some people that do agree with it. Some far right, some far left. And I've heard, because they've been posting his podcast left and right, and they always have pieces of it on TikTok where he's debating with somebody else, and you know, we're listening to it. And then the more and more I hear where he gets caught up and he changes the subject on the guy, and then he comes back to the subject. And it's like an in and out thing, you know. Okay, you got me this, but I'm getting you with this, and you're getting me with that, I'll get you with this. It's like, and I was telling my wife, I go, this event happening. And a lot of people are gonna say, no, it's not true. Some are gonna say, yeah, you hit it on the nose. When you put a dog to a corner, and you're constantly taunting it, and taunting it, and taunting it, and taunting it for the last couple of years, the dog's gonna bite back, and it bit back, and they're in shock that it happened. You know, at first, that's the way I felt about it. I mean, it was bound to happen. But at the same time, I don't want to use the word. Well, I'll use it. I can use it. The empathy on is like, okay, this guy, he was taken away from this world, to me, the wrong way, one. And Ro and I can agree on this, where we would have loved to see him carry on, and when all this mess is finally put to rest, see him fall. That was it. That would have been the best way.
Yep.
Unfortunately, someone took it into their own hands, yep, and ended it right there and then. I've been seeing videos where they're celebrating on TikTok. I've seen videos where they are singing in front of the hospital. When is going too far going too far? When is it, you know, okay, it's enough? What are your thoughts, man, when you saw this going down, when you saw the video? Because I know we didn't see it live, because they don't broadcast that stuff live. Yeah. But to see it go down on video when you see it for the first time, because I know I shot it to you first. I go, dude, did you see this? You know, this is a guy who has a podcast. Yeah. You know, yeah. Debates with a lot of people. I used to go to colleges and debate with a lot of youngsters on what's going on with what they believe is wrong.
Yeah.
What was your thoughts when you saw that video?
Well, first of all, let me just say, I had never, you know, followed Chuck K. I'd heard about him. I was never really interested in hearing, you know what he talked about. You know, he was staunchly conservative. You know, he believed certain, you know, he believed conservative, he had conservative values, you know, fine, whatever, you know, right. he can have his opinion.
Right.
I was always on the periphery of hearing stuff about him, you know, if he said this or he said that. Again, I never had any interest in it.
Right.
But I was aware of who he was, mm-hmm. you know, that this was what he did, the format of his show. He went to different college campuses and he talked to people who were on the other side of his political views.
Right.
And he debated them and he enjoyed the debate and he enjoyed throwing their logic or lack of logic back at them.
Right.
To, you know, have them perhaps see that maybe they're not, you know, fighting for what they think that they're fighting for.
Right. 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 I hear what you're saying.
So, you know, it's like I said, you know, he was a staunch conservative and he had conservative beliefs like so many other people have, you know.
Exactly.
Everybody
has their different opinions about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I got you.
Absolutely. So, and I understood his popularity too, because there has been growing conservative sentiments across the country.
Right.
It's why we have the president that we have right now.
Exactly.
And, you know, I can certainly understand some of those conservative views, you know, from a, you know, since I consider myself a moderate person. I'm in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, having said that, I realized the how popular this guy was,
mm-hmm.
with certain communities, and that yes, this does happen whenever he goes to a university event,
mm-hmm.
that there are small groups of people who, you know, get signatures together to get him to not arrive or to show up on campus, but, you know, the university decides that, you know, no, it's good for business, the
exactly,
business
side. Exactly.
To have someone like him on campus, you know, for a day, mm-hmm. to do his thing, and then, you know, he'll leave and, you know, things can return to normal.
Right.
Now, this event was going to be just another one of those events.
Mm-hmm.
It had been planned out. He had been invited by the university. He was going to do his thing. You know, of course, there was going to be upset people, you know, there confronting him and, you know, shaking their fingers and doing their thing.
Exactly.
But what happened, just you to everyone who is cheering, to everyone who thinks that this was just, that this was valid, that this was a good thing, that you're supporting the murderer, that's what this person was. He's a murderer.
Right.
All you are doing is validating him. You are validating Charlie K. You are validating every view he has.
Yeah.
You are making...
Proving him right, basically.
Proving him right. Because what you said is absolutely correct. We could have waited for him. You know, something would have come out. You know, oh,
the receipts.
The receipts would have come out. He kicked a puppy one time or, you know, whatever. You know, he shook... You know, a Nazi's hand one time accidentally at a rally or something, and that would have brought him down, and that would have, you know, lessened his impact. But
exactly.
What has happened? You've turned him into a martyr. You've turned him into a messiah. You have turned him into this goalpost that every single one of his followers, one of his more extreme followers, to try to emulate and to try to become.
Yeah.
But they're not going to become him.
Exactly.
They're going to be the extreme version that they heard in their mind.
Exactly. Exactly.
You, whatever it is that you are fighting for has now become a target.
Yep.
If you believe, you know, if you're a, you know, trans people or you know, great people or, you know, free Palestine, all of that, it is now a target. You know, it may not have been before, but it sure as hell is now.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear what you're saying.
And with, you know, when you got politicians, not really leading, just, you know, being as inflammatory as possible. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm not even talking about the president. I'm talking about like mayors of cities.
Yeah.
And governors of states.
States, yeah.
Thinking that, you know, that they're more important mm-hmm. than what, you know, what is good, what is best for the people.
Right.
You know, that their personal politics are what's more important. When you have people like that calling for more violence, you know, instigating things more.
Right.
How the hell is that going to help anything?
Mm-mm. Yeah, you're right.
And, you know, all you disgusting people that are, you know, celebrating, you know, this man's death, you may not have liked him, but you celebrating his death the way you are shows that you are indeed the problem.
I hear you.
People like you are absolutely the problem. And I wish to God people would practice more of just ignoring certain people. I really do. Just ignore certain people. You take away their power that way.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. If anybody knows, if you guys are listening to this on the podcast, if you're listening to it on our radio episode, Spotify or iHeartRadio or Apple iPod, you hear the shakiness on Chu's voice. That's him being pissed. That's you can hear.
I am pissed.
The quake in it.
Yeah.
You know. I mean. I understand. I understand how some people are like, oh, okay, we got rid of this one. No, that's not the reaction we need to have, because we're just no better than they are.
Exactly.
We can't prove this, gentlemen. I'll boldly say, gentlemen, and I'm biting my tongue while saying it, to be taken away from this world, and then pretty much proving what he was spitting.
Yeah.
Through the airwaves.
I had the same reaction when they took that other idiot took a pot shot at Trump. You just won him the election. Trump just won the election.
Right.
And look what happened.
Exactly.
He won.
Oh, gosh.
And, you know, when people do stuff like this for political reasons, for the very temporary political position that they have, mm-hmm. you're only validating what the other side said. The other side was right.
We told you.
Yeah.
We told you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We told you. Look, we told you that these people are insane, that they don't care about anybody but themselves, that they're mentally unfit.
Right, right, right.
Nothing is ever going to get better if it keeps going like this.
Yeah. And the next question is, and I don't mean to cut you off because you're really getting into digging deep into this one. Yeah. Was there enough security? I mean, there was
absolutely not.
There was reports of kids, or I call them kids, they're college kids.
Yeah.
Pictures of someone on top of a roof already, laying down, flat on their stomach, already ready to go, which didn't look like it from far away.
Right.
But it looked like he was covered in some sort of towel or a blanket to blend with the colors that were on top of the building. Okay.
Well, now see, I will preface this. The other times that he has been at other universities and doing events like this, there hasn't been much more security than what this university had posted at the time. You know, there was minor security, but not like police presence, or they weren't checking bags, or maybe they were. I don't know. But this event wasn't really supposed to be any different than the other events that he's participated in.
Right.
And some of there have been more vicious vitriol interactions he's had at different universities, like in California and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I will say, not giving the school the benefit of the doubt, but I will say this wasn't really supposed to be any different than any other event that he has attended.
Right.
Security wise.
Right. And I know like I said, going back to that being hidden, and now there were when I saw them arrest that old gentleman, supposedly a professor, That they had him in cuffs and taken away. And a lot of my buddies at work were talking about this. He goes, I don't know why they arrested that guy, but I go, you know what? That's kind of a scheme to calm the people down, to say, okay, we got him. We got him. We're taking him. He's a suspect. We're taking him away. So calm down, everybody. Let's chill. Go back to normal. It got taken care of. They were trying to go out in with a win, which they hadn't even found the actual guy who took the shot.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense? It's like, okay.
Yeah, you're describing like a PR stunt.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Let's arrest this guy, take him in.
Yeah.
We'll say we questioned him and whatsoever, and then we'll get someone else and whatsoever, but we cannot let these people know that we don't know what the hell is going on.
Yeah, that we have absolutely no idea what's going happening on. And
you know,
we are barely catching up right now.
Yeah, it's a cover up. I got a lot of people coming in here and they're putting their comments in, and I'm posting them up, and I'm sorry if I can't read them fast enough, but seeing that, you know, it kind of, is it going to take this in particular incident to cover gun control?
No.
Well, no, it's not. No. I'm going to be honest with you, it's not.
No.
You know, it's not gonna be anything, you know, that bad. It's, you know, and I have something to play for you. I'm not sure if you're gonna be able to hear it. This is something someone sent me. This is for this podcast. We don't own the rights to it, but it is something I would like to play for you guys. I'm not sure if you'll be able to hear it or not. I'll try to put it as loud as I can so you guys can hear it. But here, just sit back and listen to this. Check it out. Let's see what it plays. Hold on. Let me stop it. Rewind it a little bit. Okay. Let me put the sound on. Here we go.
Hey, Anthony.
Yeah.
Did you see that Charlie Kirk was shot and killed today at a university event?
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Well, pretty much the same thing that I think anytime somebody dies due to gun violence in the U.S., which is that all of this could have been avoided, and we need massive gun reform to prevent things like this from happening in the future. Although, you know, if we're going to talk about gun violence today, I'd rather talk about the school shooting in Colorado where 4 children were critically injured.
I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, it happened about the same time. There's some news reporting on it, but not a lot of it. And, you know, it's one in a long line of almost weekly school shootings in the U.S. that's constantly being ignored by the media. And one where the victims were innocents, you know. Kirk, by contrast, while not deserving to be shot, was an awful person and one of many conservative influencers who's directly responsible for the state that the country is currently in, including all of the gun violence.
How so?
Well, to start with, the event he was shot at today was one of his infamous outdoor debate events that he's known for. And while he was shot, he was in the process of arguing against gun control, which is something that he's done frequently in the past. You know, he's quoted from 2023 as saying that he thinks it's worth it to have the cost of some gun deaths every year so that we can have the Second Amendment to protect our God-given rights. Which, you know, some makes it sound like it's just a few people that die each year, but something like 45,000 people died or were injured last year due to gun violence. 500 of those deaths were due to mass shootings, and 5,000 of those deaths or injuries were teens or children, 4 of which were those kids today, right? That's not a few, that's a crisis. And until his very last breath, literally, Kirk was arguing in favor of more guns and blaming trans people for mass shootings. He was also responsible for, I think, a lot of toxic masculinity thoughts and the type of things that encourage people to gun violence in the first place. This is a result of that, right? I don't think he should have died. I don't wish gun violence on anybody, but almost called this upon himself.
What do you think of Trump's reaction to this in comparison to the reactions to the school shootings?
I mean, it's ironic that they're having a vigil in D.C. for Kirk, who's, again, right, been a supporter of gun violence for all this time, while you have all these many school shootings that happen and Trump can't even be bothered to talk about most of them. When these Democratic reps were assassinated a little while ago in Minnesota, Trump could barely be bothered to say anything about them or to call Tim Walz, the governor of the state, as is typically customary in these type of things. Basically brushed the whole thing off. And now he's calling, you know, Kirk legendary, basically because, you know, Kirk was a big supporter of his.
Do you think they're going to use this as a false flag event?
I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me if they did. False flag implies that they set it up, and, you know, I haven't seen anything to indicate that that's true. It wouldn't really surprise me either way if this was something they set up, but it's certainly unfortunate timing considering that it's going to draw focus away from the Epstein files and we continue to have more and more information come out.
That's something that they sent me, and I was listening to it, and I was like, wow. You know, which leads to the last question of the night. What is the outcome of the events affecting America today? The shooting on Chuck K. It's, to me, the way what you were saying, it just makes things more complicated and worse. It could have been defused at that point by, and I'm sorry to say this, guys. I'm sorry to say this to you guys. We live in the U.S., and if you don't, I feel just the way you feel having this gentleman run the country. But at that moment, he could have taken a hard left and said, we have to stop this political violence. That's it. And leave it as this.
Sure.
Unfortunately, it didn't roll that way.
Nope.
It did not roll that way. He automatically attacked the Democratic Party like crazy. Mm-hmm. And now in reports that we're reading on now, he's trying to backpedal. You've already set the fuse. You lit the wick already. Are we in the moments, and I hate to say this, and like I said, this is a very touch, very, very sensitive podcast. Do you feel, and this is a question for everybody that's watching out there, and I know there's a lot of people out here commenting, do you feel we are on the verge of a civil war?
No. We've been in a civil war for a while now. It's been skirmishes. It's been little hit and run kind of things here and there. You know, for every, you know, attempt on, you know, President Trump's life, I can, you know, point to, you know, some idiot driving through a crowd of protesters during the Biden administration with a vehicle. It's been, you know, it's been constant debates, constant, you know, infighting between Democrats and other Democrats, Republicans and other Republicans, Democrats and Republicans. And nothing getting done, government shutting down, people, you know, being left without you know, payment, paychecks, you know, without, you know, the government freezing up, and, you know, senators and governors and things like that still having their needs met. We've been in a civil war for a very long time now.
Okay, I got what you're saying.
Yeah. This is just the latest escalation, and the fact that the president, of course, attacked, that's just what he does. That's his knee jerk reaction to everything, attack.
Yeah.
So I'm not even surprised by that. What I am surprised by is how willing the rest of the country is to follow his lead in that way. You know, just attack, not even have a conversation, not even talk about what's really happening.
Right. Exactly.
You know, just to follow his lead on that. You know, just attack. Not even talk about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how is that ever going to fix anything? Because to the point of what he said, you know, like, oh, well, you know, he could have, you know, tilted the discussion to, you know, fixing, you know, gun control laws and things like that.
Right.
You know what? President Biden didn't say anything either.
Right.
How many Democratic presidents came and went and didn't do anything?
I totally agree with you.
Many presidents have come and gone where there have been massive school shootings since Columbine.
Exactly.
And nothing
has been done
by any side.
Exactly.
Exactly. So,
I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you.
And, you know, you can make the argument, oh, well, you know, people in the Netherlands, you know, they everyone there in the Netherlands carries guns just as openly as we do here in the United States. And they don't have, you know, gun. They don't have school shootings, mass shootings like we do here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if that's so, well, then what is the problem? Why is no one talking about the real problem?
Exactly. Ladies and gentlemen, we are an hour and 23 minutes on this subject, man. I know Chu and I really sat back and we talked about the point of doing this episode, considering today is September 11th, one of the most tragic days in history, in American history. And now what happened yesterday, it's all in all, just to sum it up, guys, and Chu really hit it on the nail, what he said about you're giving them what they want. Yeah. All I can say is that, you know, a man was taken out of this world wrongfully yesterday. I know people have different opinions about him, people what they feel. Well, people say, well, he deserved it, or, you know, thank God he's gone. I don't know if that's based out of anger. I know the gentleman was a horrible man. Horrible on what he would say to poke at people, what he'd do to get a rise out of people. But the real, what I wanted, like I said, empathy, sympathy, I feel he'd left $2 behind.
$1 one son.
Take that back. I'm sorry. Didn't check that. Right. Correct. But $1 one son and a wife. Those kids will now live without a father-in-law. Some celebrate that, which I don't think anybody should celebrate that. Huh. Was anything that kids need both of their parents in there? Now, is it something that, well, your views are wrong or what so have you? I don't know, man. It's I don't know what to say anymore. You know, just seeing everything that I've seen on X, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. Dude, we are falling into a third world country to the point where we're celebrating people's deaths. And we're supposed to be better than that. I know. Deep down inside, you're like, okay, let's move on, right? But the first impression is the lasting impression. Those are your true colors. The first impression is the best impression. That's what's going to prove who you are as a person.
That's who you will be person.
Exactly.
For the rest of the time.
Yeah, exactly. And, and I got Hasina saying I love everybody, but I'm brown, and the fact is that facts are the facts. We're hated for the language we speak, for the food we eat, for the brown of our skin, for the country that our roots are from. So unfortunately, that's my opinion. And you know what? That is your opinion, Jacinto, and that's a respectful opinion on your end, and other people may disagree with you.
Wait a minute.
But it is what it is. What?
Jacinto's brown?
Oh, God.
Block him. Block him right now and tariff him.
What are you, Dave
Chappelle? I tariff you. I tariff you,
Jacinto. What are you, Dave Chappelle, dude?
Yes. I am now.
Jesus Christ. Anyways, I didn't want to end it with a laugh there, guys, but I mean, I'm trying to lie.
No,
we're
please.
Trying to lighten the mood a little bit.
Lighten the mood. Lighten the mood.
It's something horrible that happened yesterday. Something horrible in history happened today. Guys, I just want to say thank you for everybody for tuning in tonight on this episode. It was a very one of very few that you and I have actually really touched into a subject that was, you know, kind of poking at the nerve a little bit, because I know you can go all night talking about this subject.
Yeah,
I know you. And if anybody wants to have a political argument, choose the guy. Don't let the one eye fool you and the one leg fool you. This guy can.
Don't get me started.
Don't get him started.
You have no idea how much I restrain myself.
Okay. So Jacinto,
I would be naked right now.
God bless America. But I got another one here from Jose Martinez here. is all I'm saying is that where was all the energy on for one man when kids of the year, the massive amount of yes, exactly. And, you know, and that's what Chu talked about earlier. Yeah, it's the point where we're making this person, you know, the reactions of it, a martyr, yeah, the way we just said. So,
but he is an undying hero now.
Yeah, unfortunately, now they want to give him a medal, yeah, but that's a whole other story.
He'll get a holiday. He'll get his, you know, it'll be his birthday will be celebrated. Everything. He's a hero now.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah. But anyways, guys, once again, thank you to every single one of you that are watching tonight. Big shout out to Chu for coming out, having some, even though it was muddy trails where I went to go pick him up, but I'm still going to take him back.
Oh, God, the mud.
I'll probably sling him out and let him slip and slide to his front door.
threaten me with a good time.
But Chu, any last words for tonight's episode?
Really, I wish everyone would really just look inward to what it is or who they really are inside. You know, if you're really that thrilled and excited at the death of someone, maybe the problem is you. You know, or maybe it's not everyone else. And I really hope. I mean, God, what can I possibly say in a world where, you know, children and babies are dying and that's not enough to make people stop? Just really look inside of you, everyone. Everyone look inside of yourselves and decide what kind of person you want to be. Not in the moment, not when you're angry, not when you're sad, not when, you know, things aren't going your way. Just every day, and who you want to people, the person that you want to be, that people remember.
Yeah.
Whether you were a great, a great person, or just like an okay person, you know, that really is up to you. And you know, just I really do hope people start being more introspective about what they're trying to do in this world.
Wise words from a gentleman who, you know, knows what's going on basically every day in part of the world, that's always keeping a track on everything that's going on, man. Once again, thank you once again to everybody. I use the famous words of Mr. Rogers: love each other.
Won't you be my neighbor?
Won't you be my neighbor?
Yeah.
Brian, you're late.
You're late, no. Brian. No.
You Brian. Go back and watch the Brian. Replay, Brian.
No.
Sorry.
Get the hell out of here, Brian.
Guys, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in for one of the most interesting episodes out of all the ones we've had, you and I, man.
Yeah.
Hasidus will give you a run by everything. There you go. He'll know what you're talking about, Brian.
Yeah.
But thank you for so much tuning in this week. This was great. I appreciate you guys tuning in for tonight, and thank you for reading the actual post I put on to understand what kind of podcast it was going to be. And thank you for the few that came in to watch and the few that are watching after the replay when this ends. Thank you for tuning in and watching with us. Next week, 7:30 p.m., we have Anthony Nino. Do we still have our audience here? There they are.
Oh, there they are.
There they are. We have Anthony Nino, a comedian from the RGB, will be on our podcast, lighten things up again. Supposedly, he went into surgery up in Houston. Something about a sex change. I don't know. No, it was a butt lift. A Brazilian butt lift. That's what he was telling me.
Oh, those BBLs, they're tricky. They're tricky. You're not supposed to fly after those, but all right.
But we have Anthony Nino next week on the podcast via video. So he won't be in the studio because he's on recovery at the time. So that should be a treat for us to talk to him and talk about the shows that are coming up. Chu, sign us out.
I've been Chu.
And I am Ooh. We'll see you next week, 7:30, for episode 261, ladies and gentlemen. And like always, latest gators, peace out.
Bye, everybody.